Father, you've given us this day to come and worship you. You've given us this time. You set it aside in our lives from before the beginning of creation that we would come here today and honor your name, glorify you. We pray today, Lord, as we listen to your word, that you would open our hearts and reveal to us more of you, that we would draw to you and cling to you, that we would take these words out with us wherever we go and continue, Lord, to glorify you and share you with everyone that we meet, that we would not waste 1 minute of time with every person that crosses our path and neglect to share who you are in our lives. You're a merciful God. We thank you for this morning, Father, and pray that as you reside over us and as your angels camp around us, that we are here, Lord, to worship thee because thou art worthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love the Lord's name. And we came here today to glorify him. Does anybody know God's name? There was a little boy sitting in Sunday school one day. The teacher was talking about God and how he created the world and all the things that he had done. And this little boy, little Timmy, pipes up and he says, "I know God's name." So the teacher kind of smiles and says, "Really, how did you know God's name?" She said, "God's name is Art." "Art? How did you come up with that?" He said, "It says in the Bible, our Father who art in heaven." I love that. Art's a good name. Well, that's not God's name. I want you to open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at God's word here from verses 11 to 15. And we're going to find out who God is and what his name is. And how powerful this name is. And why it's important that we know it and that we can share this with people. And how to listen for God's name. So if you're in Exodus, which is right after Genesis, near the very beginning of your Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in those pews right in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible to take home with you, please take one of ours. They're there for you. So let's look at verse 11. This is Moses interacting with God. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' God said, 'He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" Verse 13 says, "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Verse 15, God also says to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." How many times do we hear the words "I am" in the Bible? Well, according to Google, over 300 times. The term "I am," referring to God, appears in the Bible, from Genesis 5:1 to Revelation 22:16. We just heard it in Exodus 3:14, where God answered Moses' question by telling him, "I am sent me." As Moses is commissioned by God to bring his message to Israel and Pharaoh, he asks what seems to be an unusual question. He assumes that upon hearing his report that the God of their father has appeared to him, the Israelites will ask him, "What is his name?" This question is most likely not an indicator that Israel had forgotten God or his revealed name. After all, since they remembered the stories of their fathers, they would have likely remembered God's revealed name as well. Also, if the name of God had been erased from their recollections, then hearing it would hardly have elicited a faithful response. But a god's name, for example, Dagon, Molech, or Baal, often reveals something of the realm of their power and of his character. Moses is likely anticipating that the Israelites would want to know about the power and the nature of the God of their fathers. So Moses' question was more about, how do I tell the Israelites about how powerful the God of their fathers is, and what about the glory of his name? Well, let's look at Isaiah 42:8. Scripture says in 42:8 in Isaiah, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to man-made idols." God's name is to be glorified. He isn't just another God, He is the God. The text of verse 8 of Isaiah 42 leads us to raise the question, what is it or what does it mean to glorify God? Well, here's some daily activities to prepare us for the day. He has planned for us before the beginning of time that we're intended for us to glorify Him in all that we say and do, that we think of Him and recognize His existence. This is the first of the written Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. By thinking, meditating upon, and remembering Him, no higher dishonor can be done to any being than to ignore and forget Him. But this is the habitual attitude of man's mind towards the everlasting God. It does not relieve the matter to say that this is just a passive forgetfulness and that there's no deliberate effort to dishonor to God. This passive forgetfulness itself is the highest kind of indignity and is pointed out in the Scriptures. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall return to hell, all the nations that forgot God. Or Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you. Who else could make those promises besides a holy, all-powerful, sovereign God? This unthinking forgetfulness of the greatest and most glorious being in the universe reveals a blatant unconcern towards Him. Now again, believers, if your heart is bent on glorifying God, we must cooperate with God in the process of reversing this sinful behavior. Here's some guidance for restoration of our forgetfulness of who we worship. Let's look at God's name. The memorial name, I Am, that I am, is a name synonymous with Jehovah. This name includes within it a vast extent of significance, all past, present, and future existence and duration. Within the meaning of God's name, you will find three attributes. Self-existence. Secondly, eternity necessarily follows from self-existence. And thirdly, His proprietorship, which springs from the fact of His existence. He owns it all, including us. The revelation of this memorial name to Moses had purpose. It was a crisis in the history of Moses and also that of Israel, the Hebrew children, while they were in Egypt. These are some of the points that the scripture we are studying were when God spoke to Moses in Exodus. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, this is to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So the first thing we take from that scripture is one purpose it served was to strengthen Moses in executing his work. You now have God telling you, I am your strength. Without me, you can't do this. Jesus said this to us as well, one time in John chapter 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Second point is, another purpose it served was to check or beware of idolatrous practices. Don't rely on anything of this world or anyone else, but rely only on I am, just God. Not your old ways or your lucky charms or your idols. Only God, I am, has sent you to do this. The third thing it did was it taught Moses the safety of the people. When they passed through the waters, they were safe. A pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to guide them. I am protected them continuously. The fourth thing, the revelation of this name in connection with the people's ancestry shows that they were heirs of immortality. This newfound freedom from slavery was a gift from a holy God who is immortal. This made history. And the fifth thing is, the revelation of this name is victory. This name I am was monumental, a point of reference for the Hebrew children. Passover had direction from the immortal God of heaven, and His name was and is I am. So 5 points to recapture when Moses heard from God. 1, to strengthen Moses. 2, not to rely on anything but God. 3, that you're safe in God's hands. We are heirs of immortality. And 5th, the revelation of this name means victory. Now this is how you give yourself perspective. If I, Ed Cadieux, say that I am, that would not be true. I must say, I am a man. I am bad. I am good. I'm a deacon. I'm an Albertan. I'm a farmer. Then I'll be telling you the truth. But I couldn't just say, I am. But God alone can say, I am, without saying anything more. Why? Because He alone is God. Everybody and everything else in the world becomes, but God is. I become a man. I become a farmer. I become a servant of the Most High God. We are becoming something from our birth to our death, changing continuously, and becoming something different than from what we were a minute ago. First of all, we were all created and made, and so became men. And since then, we are changing every moment, becoming older or wiser, or I hope not more foolish, becoming stronger or weaker, becoming better or worse. Even our bodies are changing, becoming different every day. But God never changes or becomes anything different from what He is now. What He is, what He was, and ever will be, God never changes. Many lost men know that there is an eternal God and what He is now, but they did not know that God Himself said so. And that made them anxious and puzzled, almost desperate, so that the wiser they became, the unhappier they were. For what use is it merely knowing that God is? The question for a poor human creature is, but what sort of being is God? Is He far off? Does He care nothing about us? Does He let the world go on as it is, right or wrong? Is He proud and careless? Or a self-glorifying deity whose mercy is not all over His works or even any of them? Well, we can find those answers revealed to us and the glory of God in His holy written word. This word has been given to us by the power of God and will maintain throughout all eternity. Be assured, the Bible answers these questions, which also reveals God's character. God does care for men. God does see men. God is not far off from any of us. He is sovereign. And hear this, God does speak to men. God spoke to Moses and said, "Not God is, but I am." In various times and diverse manners, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets and said, "I am." But more specifically, Moses said, "I am has sent me." God does not merely love us and yet leave us to ourselves. He sends after us. He sends to us. And so we read again, "I am has sent me to you," in Exodus 3:14. Unto who? Who was Moses sent to? To the children of Israel in Egypt. What sort of people were they? Anybody here from Egypt? Israel? Any Hebrew children here? No? Were they wise and educated? No, the opposite. They were ignorant and uneducated. Were they pious and godly? No, the opposite. They were worshiping idols of the Egyptians, so entrenched in idolatry that they made a golden calf and worshipped it. So why then did God take so much trouble for them? Why did God take care for them and help them and work wonders for them? Why exactly? Because He's a God of mercy. Romans 9:16. You should know this verse off by heart. Look in your Bible, underline it, and highlight it. Romans 9:16. "So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." We are saved by His mercy, and He's a merciful God. We have much to be thankful for. This is a taste of God's character. Why did God send Moses to rescue the Hebrew children? Well, this parallels the future of the coming Messiah, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. God sent His Son Jesus to rescue us. Born an innocent child, came into this world to be a substitution for us, who died a vicious death on the cross, falsely accused and sentenced to death on a cross, to pay for the price of our sins, not just cover them, but remove them, so that one day we can stand before a holy God, and He will welcome us into His presence to share in His glory for all eternity. Went to the hospital yesterday morning to see a friend of mine who has lung cancer, and his wife was there. He couldn't breathe very well, so he couldn't talk very well, but he'd scribble a little note on paper, and they were talking about preparing to die. And I was given the opportunity. The door was open. I said, "How's your spiritual life?" And she said, "Oh, my brother's a Catholic priest." My heart sank. I knew this man didn't have salvation. So I got to share the gospel with him, pray for his salvation, and ask God to have mercy on his soul. Eternity's a long time to be without God. Passed away this morning. Got a phone call at 7 o'clock that he left this world. I don't know if he left for that mansion in the sky, but God, we prayed for him. And we prayed to a merciful God. We know this because he, Jesus that is, although he was crucified, he was resurrected 3 days later, which we call Easter, Easter Sunday. And he defeated death, and now he resides at the right hand of God. But wait, there's more. Good news. He's coming back. Back together as children. The day and the hour, only God knows. So be prepared. Watch and pray. Glorify God in all that you say and do. Remember what he told Moses. I am with you. Please understand these words. Today were meant for you to hear. We serve a sovereign God. Not one atom or molecule moves in this universe without him. Every dandelion seed that blows in the wind is under his control. He is a sovereign God. Hiya? You ever heard that before? Hiya? I said it for years, not knowing what it really meant. It was like a greeting for me or an introduction to something. If I didn't fully understand it, I'd go, hiya. When I worked in a meat plant with 275 Vietnamese co-workers, it was a word continuously used throughout the day, mostly to get someone's attention. If you're working at a table and they wanted you to pass them a knife, they'd go, hiya, and they'd point at that knife. Or they'd see you in the morning coming through the doors, hiya. And it was just something we said continuously. Pretty soon it was the language of the day. We never said nothing, but we all said the same thing. And now, my daughter-in-law is addicted. Hiya, hiya. That's how we talk. And we all said the same thing. This name is incredible. This word is so incredible. When I share this with you, you're not going to forget this. And you're going to see me one day and go, hiya. But recently, through a devotional that I was reading, I found the actual meaning of this word. It has an incredible impact on today's scripture. And I'm going to read this scripture again. 5 verses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" The assurance of God's presence with Moses and the children of Israel is conveyed in a Hebrew word used 4 times in this passage of Scripture. Hiya, in verse 12, is translated, "I will be with you." This rather complex word is also a covenant name of Israel's God. 3 times the word is translated, "I am," in verse 14, when used as a personal noun. Yahweh is an acceptable rendering. In most English Bible versions, when the word Lord appears in capital letters, its translation of Hiya then speaks of God's eternal existence. John chapter 1 verse 14 records that the eternal word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Also in John's Gospel, Jesus identified himself as the eternal Son through I am statements, including his bold statement before Adam was born, I am. Jesus said that. But I remember vividly when I read about when the soldiers came for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John chapter 18, verses 4 and 5, Jesus asked, "Who do you seek?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." He replied, "I am he." When Jesus replied, "I am he," they all drew back and fell down like bowling pins. That's not how bowling pins sound, you know that. They fell to the ground. That's how powerful this name is. That amazed me. James 2:19 tells us, even the demons tremble at the very mention of Jesus' name. Think about that. Again, the demons said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Even the demons know and don't deny who he is." So how vulgar and depraved is a man who curses God's name or doesn't even acknowledge him? Yes, it is a powerful name. The most powerful name in the universe. Another example I looked at was in John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the sixth I am statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John. This was in response to Thomas's question in chapter 14, verse 4. "We do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" So Jesus replied, "I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life." Proverbs 19:23 speaks about this clearly. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding." The fear of the Lord. Even the demons feared the Lord. Why would we not fear the Lord? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says specifically, "The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." Yes, we all know and perhaps need to remember, we will give account for every idle word. So careful how you use God's name. How many times do we hear people say, "Oh my God"? Pretty vain. They have no idea how powerful that name is that created the universe with a breath, with a word. If I were going to glorify the name of God, we need to intentionally seek God and watch for God in our daily activities. Listen to him speak when we read our Bibles. You'll notice that start to include God in all your conversations. Then we think, what would God want me to do with this situation? Everything we start working on and everything we start to proceed to do, we start saying, I wonder what God would want me to do with this. There's some comfort in that. The answers come quicker when we're in his word daily. Yes, I remember what the Bible says. I know this is right because God said it. Now, this is a discipline or a commitment if you don't know him. But if you love him, it's a desire or a time to look forward to. When God reveals something to you from his word, it is incredible. There's no word I could give to describe that feeling that comes over you. The next step that naturally comes is you want to share what you've heard or read. It's in your heart, and it won't stop till it comes out of your mouth. Jesus said that when they told him to stop going through the city on Palm Sunday. He said the very rocks would shout out the names. You can't contain that. That's incredible. So you tell someone what you read and what you saw and what you heard and what God revealed to you, and they say, "Where did you hear that?" Or, "Where did you get that?" "Well, I read it in the Bible." If that person you tell it to as a believer, they might say, "I never read it like that before." Either way, you are blessed, and God is given all the glory. If you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. He speaks to you every day. I hope today that we accurately and carefully handled the Word of God, and that you can take with you something today and and utilize it on how we're to glorify God and to use His name. And I'm very grateful to be given the opportunity to share this with you.